This morning's first speaker is Sergey Shelpuk. He's currently head of data science for VI Tech in Lviv, Ukraine, and the founder and CTO of QRhythm. Prior to that, Sergey served as director of data science for SoftServe, where he developed a series of machine learning, predictive analytics, and deep learning neural network models for various projects and clients. Prior to SoftServe, Sergey spent several years designing large-scale device activation and network discovery systems for a Tier 1 U.S. telecom operator. He has a B.S. in computer science from Kiev Polytechnic and a B.S. in law from Mudry Academy of Kharkov. He is also a current research associate of the Stanford University Artificial Intelligence Lab. Please welcome Sergey Shelpuk to the Cloud Developers Summit and Expo.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's start on the clouds as they are, or as they were in 2013, as the most recent statistics we have. So first of all, in 2013, there was $47.4 billion spent on public cloud services only. This is combined infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service. That is about 4.2% of overall IT spending overall in the world. Next, in US only, we have 12 million servers in about 3 million data centers. That is 24% of overall world server numbers. And in large companies such as Google and Facebook, each of them are estimated to have about 1 million of servers in their data centers. And the next is the electricity consumption. Data centers in US is responsible for 3% in overall power consumption. That is a huge number. So given these numbers, I would like to congratulate us all. That's the job we do, and we do it successfully, as you can see. And the key question, the keys to this success was the question, can we do better? This is the question with what we come to the customers, asking them, hey, you have your software, your platform on your premises. If you would move it to the cloud, you would save a decent amount of money, say 50%. That's how we sell the cloud services. That's the advantage. So basically, what clouds are is the result of thinking of, can we do better regarding the on-premises deployment? And now we keep thinking of, can we do better relating to the clouds? And given the numbers we have, such as $47 billion spent in 2013, and estimated spending on public cloud of $100 billion plus dollars in 2017, the questions of efficiency rises pretty hard. And if we can do better with cloud, this is a good chance to improve the service. So the key inefficiency in clouds, as we see it right now, are the following. First level is the level of virtual machines. Basically, we all keep some amount of excess capacity in our virtual machines in order to ensure our customers have a smooth experience without any delays in processing their requests. And on average, by statistics, we have 50% of excess capacity in our cloud services. That means we basically pay twice as more for our clouds as we have to. We would like to pay twice as few, but then we just can't do that because we don't know what will be the load in the next 5 minutes and so on. That's why we keep this huge excess capacity just in case. That is definitely one of the inefficiency points. Next inefficiency point is physical hardware. It is utilization of server hardware and utilization of network gears. According to the statistics, in 3 million data centers in US, 30% of servers are utilized less than 15%. This is basically they are doing nothing. And the cost of running these 30% of idle servers is $3.8 billion per year, and they consume or basically waste the electricity that is enough to power 3.5 million American households. It is a huge number again. And also we have the power supply inefficiency. It is all these APC and conditioning systems that provide the services to the servers that do nothing. So basically we have power supply and conditioning that cool servers that do nothing, that support virtual machine, 50% of them are overutilized. This seems to be a huge inefficiency, and we try to solve them. One of the most efficient way to address this point is to use data analytics and predictive analytics in particular. I would like to show you how we address just one of this point, virtual machine efficiency on the live demo of what we've done with Qurate. Does this mic work? Great. So here is the demo. Look at the top. These are three graphs. Look at the top of them. It simulates the cloud. The blue line is the capacity, the load the application gets right now. And the green line is the capacity that the intelligent controller maintains to the moment. See, the blue line is sort of noisy because we don't know what number of requests we will get in the next moment and so on. The middle graph shows the maximum CPU load of all your virtual machines. That is basically the utilization of your cloud. At the moment, it is maintained on about sort of 50%, maybe a little bit more on average. And the bottom graph shows the number of servers that is of virtual machines that is running right now. You will see them in green as operational servers, and in yellow, the servers that are starting. The key problem with trying to control cloud is that we don't know for sure anything. We don't know how much does it take for a virtual machine to start. We know only that it may be about 10 or 20 minutes, say, on average, plus minus something. This plus minus something spoils everything for us because we can't compute it implicitly. We don't know if it is 20 minutes or 21 minutes or 19 minutes for the next virtual machine, basically sort of marginal analytics. We don't know what is the number of requests that we will have the next moment. We don't know how many requests one virtual machine can handle. Again, we know it on average. It is 50 requests per second on average, say, but we don't know for sure. And this demo is interactive. How does it form this this blue line? It takes this load from this track bar that is right now is 100 requests per second and adds some Gaussian noise to emulate the stochastic world. So basically, we can put anything we like to this cloud, and I will show you what's going on. How does the controller react when we increase the load? So each time step here is 5 minutes of real time. So in this demo, we get measures from the cloud once per 5 minutes, and then we react to the changes. Say the load on your application increases. See, the controller starts virtual machines upfront to ensure that when the load exceeds your current capacity, you will have new virtual machine in place and operational. And these green, again, on the bottom graph, this yellow graph shows the number of virtual machines that are currently starting. That means they are loading operating system, loading applications, and so on. And we can do that one more time. Now it believes that current capacity of 8 virtual machines, or about 400 requests per second, is enough to handle the load that we have. Then we can get the load down, and the controller would automatically shut down virtual machines when it is sure that the capacity is enough and no risk to be overloaded. And again, we can play with it more and more. Say, one more time, up. New virtual machine starts just right when you need them. Or go down, and it stops virtual machines. And again, it reacts to my current actions. And so no predefined patterns at all. So given this capacity manager and applying it for some real cloud gives you a situation and state when in 93% of the time of running your application, you will utilize more than 70% of your capacity. It's basically almost always you will utilize more than 70% of your capacity of your cloud. Also, the SLA is 0.9996 with this controller. That means that 99.96% of requests that comes to your application will be processed without the delay. That is kind of good thing to have when you think about 70%+ of utilization of your capacity. Also, it saves up to 25% of your infrastructure as a service costs comparing to Amazon Elastic Load Balancer. Elastic Load Balancer is basically if-then-else logic. You can go and code the conditions where you want it to start or stop virtual machines, and it works pretty well, but with this predictive analytics, you can do 25% better. And comparing to what's called fixed setup model, when you just set up some fixed number of VMs to work daily and nightly on your application, it can save you up to 40% in terms of money. It also optimizes not only your spending, but your risk management policy. It is self-learning, and it adjusts itself to the cost of risk of overutilization that you set up. Basically, it compares the cost of running one additional virtual machine with the cost of risks of being overutilized and makes the decision based on this probability that it learns by itself. It also solves what's called Black Friday problem. You can see on the right graph how it scales in case of Black Friday. See, it is basically the 1 week, the regular day of the week that is almost all days, and the Black Friday that is that happened during this week. And you can see how differently it reacts on different conditions in the world. So in the regular day, it scales the capacity, giving the knowledge it learned again by itself, examining your previous data, that the rate of growth probably is not that significant, so it can delay the decision of starting virtual machine to basically the last moment. But with Black Friday, it knows, the controller knows, that the growth of load can be significantly higher. That's why it should scale upfront. That's what he actually does. And the SLA of 99.96% is the week including Black Friday. So right now, it is the way to address your Black Friday problem. That is different from taking a software engineer or system administrator and making him scaling your cloud by hands daily and nightly during these Black Friday days. The only thing you should do is to tell the controllers that, okay, this day I expect the load to be significantly higher than average, and it will take over your cloud automatically. It turns out that machines, and especially predictive analytics, artificial intelligence, is much better in the problem of control than we human beings are. And that's fine, we are good in other things, but speaking about the cloud and these three inefficiency, we see the data center of the future as something like the following. You have all three levels of data center, sort of logical architecture, VM levels, physical hardware and power supply, and also quality of service, such as vertical part of the data centers and security. The issue with security is that today there are different people, groups of people responsible for different parts of security. Say you have systems engineer responsible for security of your VMs and servers, you have networks engineers responsible for security of your network gears and so on, and when something happens, such as DDoS attack or something, they should come together and decide what to do, because basically DDoS attack can be can address some virtual machine, say, or server, but the solution can be, the efficient solution, can be probably found within the level of network infrastructure. That's why these guys should come together and figure out what to do with all this stuff. Maybe you should introduce some additional network configuration in order to secure the VM level of service. And also quality of service. Say if we expect some event such as a sport game coming, say next day, that we probably are aware that most of our customers that are that use IPTV would see the game but not browsing Facebook or over the web. And that's why we can adjust our policies in the server level as well as the network level to ensure that the real-time data will be delivered efficiently. Even by foregoing some of our web, say, capacity or throughput, because no one would even notice it, because they won't be there. They'll be looking for the game. And we see that In the nearest future, there can be developed a single AI data center manager that would get the data from all of these levels, of VM level, of physical hardware, of power supply, also monitoring quality of service and security, in order to make decisions controlling all of these different parts of data centers by predicting what's going on in the future and analyzing all the situation at once, not by distributing the decision among different groups of people. So, can we do better? Can we save customers money on using clouds? Can we save data centers money on operating these clouds? And can we conserve energy and make a greener world by not wasting it for the clouds and servers that do nothing? And we say at Curium, yes, we can do that. Thank you. If you have any questions, you are welcome to ask.